Good evening, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. What the hell? For crying out loud. I hate this stupid iTunes. Never a clean start. Yeah, you listen. You know.
I'm like, I'm hearing some woman in the background.
I got to put that in its own category.
Yeah.
I got to copy that, put that in its own category.
Because with the check marks also on iTunes, if you have a check mark against everything, it'll go right to the next thing.
Yeah, stupid iTunes. Thank you, Apple. Go fuck yourself.
just get rid of, believe me, I learned that the hard way, but you got to just get rid of those check marks on there.
So much for the clean start. Yep, you're listening to Davin's Den, the show that is better than being a negative Nelly.
A negative Nelly.
I'm a negative Nelly.
Exactly.
I don't like my oats. They're probably going to taste like crap today.
Well, now you're causing static. I don't know what you did.
He moved the mic.
Yeah, stop moving the mic.
It's like Mabel the cow, negative Nelly.
Negative Nelly.
The number to call in is 845-986-8804. You can join our chat room, the Den Pen, by going to davinsden.com and clicking chat and listen live. Or if you're listening to one of our great affiliates, simply open up a new window in your browser, type in davincomedy.com, and go to the Davin's Den page on the bottom and click on that, and then click chat and go. I'm your host, Davin Rosemont. I am joined by Joe Curry.
Good evening.
And Pip Helix.
Hi, everybody.
Just had a little bit of wind out of my sails. We were doing something we don't usually do. We had the TV going on in the background, watching a little
big screener.
Little World Cup. Not huge soccer fans here, but once every 4 years we pretend.
It's like Halley's Comet with a ball.
Well, I mean, that's every 72 years.
Well, I think this is the next time we're going to be in it.
Yeah, we're a good team, but we just got beaten by Belgium. By their one black guy named Lukaku.
And the announcer is going, Lukaku this, Lukaku that. And I'm like, what is he saying?
It's
what?
A Lukaku-mamey name.
Actually, she got very excited when we had to swap out the chairs. Yeah. She kept on hearing Lukaku. I was like, wow.
You have the pillow I was sitting on before, Joe.
Yeah. Oh, do I?
It's yes.
So, yeah, the USA has just been eliminated. A little disappointing.
Mm.
Yeah.
But you know what? It was a hell of a run. I've watched the game. Not a huge soccer fan at all. Or football, as many of our fans around the world call it.
Football.
But, our goalie tonight, Tim Howard, was a beast.
Oh, yeah.
It was like everybody versus Tim Howard.
Yes, it was. He was really trying very hard. He was doing well.
Yeah, but it was fun to watch. But I got to be honest. I will not watch any form of soccer for more than 5 minutes. For another 4 years.
I'm not a big soccer person, but rugby. Ever see rugby?
No.
Those guys are, it's like soccer, but they beat the crap out of each other, gouge each other's eyes out and smack each other.
It's like soccer, but they don't flop and cry.
No, it's like football, USA football players look at rugby players and go,
well,
damn.
If there was a big tournament and America was in it, maybe I would feign an interest.
Yeah.
But, you know, that being said, it's not like I'm watching too much fencing in America. You know, there's certain sports, but I could see why people enjoy soccer. I could see. You know what I like about soccer that I never knew until this year? I knew it had a time limit, but it's not like baseball and football and basketball and hockey that just goes on and on.
Yeah.
I mean, it's quick. It's over. It's done.
Done.
I like that. You can get on with the rest of your day. Football, it's an event. You got to block out 3 hours. A Yankees-Red Sox game.
Four hours.
Yeah.
And that's just for the traffic.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, this is fun. I mean, these guys flop a little bit too much for my liking, and, you know, they get too many boo-boos. It's like, you know, I understand why the little ones, that the little kids who play soccer get orange slices. Apparently, it's nurtured on. We're all a bunch of little girls here, and we get boo-boos. And like Peter Griffin, like you're rubbing your knee, rocking that.
You know what? It looked like the pounding that guy got in the face with that ball.
Well, I mean, listen, women take pounding in the face all the time with balls.
With balls. Yeah. Yeah, but they're much smaller balls.
Yeah, but the team players, they know how to handle it.
Yeah, but it's not quite the velocity.
No, but you give them a towel, they do the next scene. Let's go, ladies. Time is money. This is a 48-hour shoot. Let's go. You're going to get a lot more shots in this shoot. Let's go.
Oh, I know where the shots are going, too.
Bob Towel's moonlighting.
I gotta pay my bills too, Joe. They don't need me.
Yeah, no.
Even though the same stuff goes on me.
But I mean, you know, in the first round of the soccer, you know, you can lose and you still advance and everything. Mm.
I don't understand how they had that. They go to a draw.
Yeah, they go to a point system and everything. Okay. So a lot of Americans don't like that. Which is why in hockey, because they used to have ties in, you know, during the NHL season, and they got rid of that, and now they have the fakakta shootout, which is just stupid.
Mm. What's the shootout?
The fakakta shootout.
What's
the shootout?
Does
the rabbi shootout come out instead of the ref?
Yes, the rabbi from Montreal comes out. No, but they do, because they don't want it to end in a tie, so they have three players. from each team take shots on the goalie. One at a time, and then if it's still 0-0, you have another guy take a shot and everything.
It's like the last resort.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's unofficial. But the reason why playoff hockey is so good, and why people who don't love hockey love playoff hockey is there's none of that. You play until somebody scores.
Oh,
so you'll have games that are like three overtime, which is like another game.
Like Kings Rangers just wrapped up.
Exactly. People love that. It was fascinating. And that was interesting, too, the last Kings Rangers game. Because Lundqvist, the goalie for the Rangers, like Tim Howard, was basically standing on his head, keeping his team in the game.
Yeah.
And much like Tim Howard, lost.
Yeah, we remember.
So I think the moral of the story is, if you're playing golf, don't try so hard.
Yeah.
Well, Lisa's saying in the chat, and if your goalie sucks, you're done. That seems
well, apparently even if your goalie's good, you're done. So, you know.
Well, who's the guy for the Kings? He was really good.
Quick, yeah, Jonathan Quick. Yeah, he was very good. He beat the Devils a couple years ago. At least the Devils made a series of it. But anyway, that's enough sports talk. Rangers suck. 1994, bitches, and soccer is done, so now we can just look at the mediocrity that is New York Yankees baseball.
Oh, and New York's Mets baseball.
No, we're not going to look at that. No. There's a better chance of me looking at the Rockland Boulders.
Hey, now. They're second place.
The Rockland Boulders?
Yes.
Okay. They could be.
They are.
I don't care.
Okay.
Nobody else does either.
Do you follow the Rockland Boulders?
Her husband works. Well,
oh.
No. Her husband, their station carries the Rockland Boulders.
I got you.
It's the same league that the now-defunct Newark Bears used to be, where I used to do the occasional PA announcing. Yes. Yeah. My PA announcing came to a close after 3 years.
So you did it.
I did it.
What are they going to do with that stadium in Newark? It's like in a
hold rapes. They're going to hold rapes.
The only thing you can do in that neighborhood. It's a heavy neighborhood, man.
Oh, dear God.
There's going to be gang bangs in Newark Bears Eagles Stadium.
Oh,
yeah.
Please the don't town sell owns tickets.
That was a nice stadium.
It was a beautiful stadium.
Yeah.
But the problem was, when I would be there, like, sometimes balls would get hit, like, down the right field line, and you couldn't see, so you wondered if the fielder was getting molested back there.
Yeah.
Because he wouldn't come back right away.
Probably getting mugged.
Yeah. Comes back. His pockets are inside out. Yeah. He's got a black eye.
We're gonna,
no ball.
Let's go to this call to the police report.
Stupid glove is up on Apple blocks. It's been delaced. Being sold for leather scraps.
Oh, it's the team just saying we give up. We give up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and eventually they did. And they said, no more of this Newark Bears baseball.
Yeah.
So much for the tradition.
Oh, well.
That's a shame.
It was a shame. But anyway, we move on. Got a good show for you tonight. We got a brand new bit that we're debuting tonight. We let Pip Helix. We all came up with the bit when we went, when we took a little road trip together. And we let this become Pip Helix's baby for the inaugural launch. And Joe Curry has what I believe to be one of his best theme songs.
Oh, thank you.
Awesome.
We'll play it in a little bit, the intro to the bit and everything. But I do want to say this. I was telling Pip this before the show. I don't really give Joe much direction on the theme song.
I thought you were going to say credit.
No.
No, we know that. We know that.
I give you all the credit you've earned.
Yes.
Damned with faint praise.
I don't usually give Joe, you know, much direction. I just let him be that. And I usually have a vision in my head. And, I should plug this computer in. I'll do that on the
better
break.
Better you than me. Holy mackerel.
I'll do that on the break. But anyway.
Notice when it's him, it's not a big deal.
No, I killed myself last week when I didn't hit record.
No, you get pretty down on yourself.
No, I'm sorry.
No biggie.
No,
I digress.
All right.
So I have a vision in my head, and Joe has his own vision. We don't talk about it. And most of the time, it's completely different than my vision, but it's good nonetheless, and I like it.
Right.
Once in a while, on a rare occasion, Joe comes up with something like, I don't really like this. This is what I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And then Joe does something like that.
Okay.
And I'm happy with it. This time, again, I gave Joe no direction. And he was pretty much in my head with this. Because I listened to him like, you know what? This is what I would have done, something along this vein. And it made me laugh out loud when I listened to him. Like, I really like this. Did you feel good about this?
I felt good about it. Usually when I have to do one of the parody things, I get an idea in my head.
Yeah.
And then I sit down and I have all the samplers and stuff like that. And I got an idea what I want to do. And actually, I was trying to find a patch for a new Race Odyssey. I had a patch I wanted to do on one thing. I had an idea. And then I'm just trying to find a song sound that I want to do for one of the new Race Odyssey songs. And I wound up hitting this, and I'm like, wow, hold no, this will work. This is it. And once I get that, I had the whole idea comes together.
Yes.
And I just blow it on out.
So we'll play that for you guys in the second third of the show, I believe, probably.
Really? You're still not on that?
Ugh, piss me off.
Oh, dear
now
God.
Now I have to send a text. Well, also, we're going to be talking about the wisdom of Adolf Hitler.
Yes.
Oh, dear. I love it when he just, like, puts it out like that. Like, yeah, this is completely reasonable.
Yeah, without the backstory.
Yeah.
It was like, we're like a news show. When, you know, it's like,
I know, the wisdom.
Your cell phone killing you? Details of 11.
I know, right? And it's like, is it killing your arm because you're carrying your
arms
on a chair?
Listen, there are people out there besides neo-Nazis that take great strength and pride from the words of Adolf Hitler, and we'll reveal that on the show.
Yes.
Speaking of that.
Really?
Yes.
All right.
Speaking of that, my husband's band was playing this charity event. Mm-hmm. It was one of those runs, like a
bike runs,
a bike run for, I don't even remember what the cause was. Mm-hmm. I think it was
not to youth.
I think it was for vets. Well, you would have thought, because first of all, it was the first time these people put this thing together.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, God bless them. It's not easy to put something together for the first time.
You'll see
and
that.
Think of, and think of
she's already making her excuses. Yes. There it is. There
it's
it
so
is.
Hard the first time.
It
is.
The October 13th show, you'll be hearing that again.
Well, if you're at the third...
October 11th, stupid. Give him the right date.
I'll get there. No, but I'm saying the 13th.
When we do the live show. Yeah, you will be hearing this.
Now I'll throw under the bus as it happens. I don't care.
As it happens. Oh, no pressure. So, nope. Yeah, it's like, you know, you suck. That's my friend.
We'll get there.
Okay, so the thing was that they set it up and they got sponsors to bring out food and drinks. And, you know, Johnny and the Alimonies came out and they volunteered their time to play. And they were going to set them up in this place that was on the tarmac that was just like broiling hot sun moment for all. And I'm like,
heat stroke for the band.
No. So I run home. Now, we begged the woman to give us one of the little tents that they have set up on the field.
You couldn't do this one. This is in the intro you're doing this?
Yeah.
This sounds like a real story here.
It is a real story.
Why don't you wait till we get to that part of the show?
Okay, but you said Nazis, and it reminded me of the thing.
Oh, okay, but this is not a quick one here.
No, it's not.
Once you go, I start running home. I know we're going to be here for a while.
You know what? On my end, we've done gigs like that in parking lot when I used to play in Now or Never, and you do need the tent because it could be brutally uncomfortable.
I get that. And I'm willing to listen to this story.
Okay.
I just like to get through the intro of the friggin' show first.
Oh,
I thought we were done.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'd like to tell the people what we got going on.
I'm sorry.
We'll get through very quickly.
Right. Go ahead.
We'll pause while Devin continues.
Yeah, and then I just want to tell people what's going on, and then I will go right to you. You won't have to hold on too long. But, you know, go sit in the corner. Go sit in your tarp. Also, it's a brutal truth night tonight in the den. Brutal truth, not for you guys. I'll keep lying to you guys.
Oh!
I've had those.
You should have seen the size of my eyeballs. I was like, what?
What? I don't think you're going so well.
I've had a meeting and a dinner.
Is there a pickle tray here, damn it? Then no.
No. Not for you guys. I'll continue lying for you guys just a wee bit longer.
All right.
You're the boss. You support your people.
No, I'll be laying the truth on our Ann Jackson.
Oh!
I'll be laying some truth on Ann Jackson. I'll be laying some truth on Belinda.
Ooh.
Later on. So it's brutal truth night.
Oh, I can't wait.
I can't wait either.
So, yeah.
I can't wait. And you folks in the pen there, you know, you've been following along. You know, it's going to be some good stuff, man, because we're all hanging on this backstory.
Saddle up.
Yeah. So, and then the final thing is Joe alluded to. October 11th. Yeah, we've confirmed it. I'm going to give you guys more details probably next week. But, we're doing a live show at the Brewworks in Allentown, the Brewworks Pub in Allentown. It's a really cool space. It's not just going to be Joe and me doing stand-up comedy like Joe and I have done before when we've traveled together. We're going to dust off the old mothballs, drag Pip Helix out of retirement. She's going to be doing a lot of comedy.
Yeah.
A little bit of comedy, I should say.
Right. Not a lot.
A little bit of comedy. there's going to be we're going to bring some of our games.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
We're going to do that. We're going to give away prizes. Here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking Boozy or Floozy.
Nice.
And I'm thinking what's the other one? God or Lover. I'm thinking those are the two games that we will play.
That's very good, yeah.
I'm thinking that's what we'll play with the audience for prizes. And we're also going to bring some of the scammer stuff into it, which I'll elaborate more. We're going to do some educational stuff with that. We're going to drop some knowledge down on some folks. And we're also going to reveal some of the that our fans know of, some of the wackiness that we've done in some of our interventions and all. So it's going to be multimedia. It's going to be really cool. So you can get down to Pennsylvania, Allentown, Pennsylvania, on October 11th. There's a very limited amount of seats, mm-hmm. but it should go on sale this week. Diva Donny and myself have been working on it, and it's going to be really cool.
Yeah, and another thing about this place, we didn't just rent a hall. This is a beautiful brew pub. The food is absolutely amazing. You have a choice of many different house draft beers. So it's really a good place. You'll have a really good time, man. So hopefully a lot of you can come down and hang out with us. It's going to be a really good night.
We're going to have two types of tickets, and all tickets are very affordable. Two types of tickets are available. There's the regular tickets, and then there's a special VIP package, which is just a little bit more. I mean, that's really cool. Donnie and I discussed that. Joe, there's some more pressure on you. You need to get that project done. That's part of it. But, yeah, it's going to be – Joe knows what I'm talking about.
Joe immediately started pouring sweat.
Yeah, the one you've been working on.
Oh, no, I thought it was an addition,
not a new
too.
No.
It was like, oh, right. No.
No, not a new one, because that's going to be part of it for the VIP ticket hold. So it's going to be really cool. I'm gonna tell you guys, hopefully next week we'll put the tickets on sale. Hopefully later this week we'll make the announcement next week. But I'm telling you guys now. Block out October 11th if you like the show, if you like comedy, and you like what we do. It's going to be really cool. We're going to have a film crew there. We'll hang out with you guys afterwards. It's going to be a good time. So if you got some vacation days, come on down. I'll tell you guys a little bit more about it as the weeks come. But October 11th, Allentown, PA. Okay, Pip Helix. You were biting at, you were chomping at the bit. Go on.
Get up from the tent.
Chompity, chomp, chomp. Well, I also have to point out that Trucker Tom said that he was like, oh, only on this show can we go from why Redskins is racist 1 week to why Hitler was smart the next week.
Hold on.
He's got a good point.
I didn't say Hitler was smart. Somebody else perceived Hitler as smart.
I know.
And yes, Tom, only on this show.
On this show. That's true. So the thing is that they didn't have anything. Now, Joe can appreciate, because like you've said, you've played gigs where they have no overhang. And
you're doing a gig in a parking lot. You do a lot of festivals and stuff like
sure.
that. You know, you need the tent. You have to have the tent because it keeps the wind, plus the sun. And you can't see down the equipment. The little backstory, when you have your equipment, you have like it's all analog and stuff. So you have all the setting things. When the sun hits that stuff, you can't read it. You can't read it at all.
No.
And for a keyboard player, that is torture.
Death.
Yes.
It is. And not for nothing, but in the band is my husband's brother, who was recently very ill.
Oh, really?
And he's doing much better now. But the thing is, we really needed to keep him covered. You know, having him have a heat stroke out on the pavement is not going to go over well at the family gatherings.
Yeah,
you know?
Very not good, yeah.
Yeah. So we had this little tent that they were going to cover the hot dogs with, and I was like, no, we need that, but we need it even more. So I went home to get a big tent to cover it up. Now, by the time I come back, the band starts. The motorcyclists are back. They're all online for their food.
Right.
They are standing there, not even like nodding their heads or tapping their toes or even glancing at the band.
Really?
They could not give.
Do I need to cue up the Hell Gig music?
No, yeah, it was kind of. It was. And so, you know, the singer is like doing a little of that sarcastic, it's okay for you to clap, folks. And maybe one person would take pity and clap. It was really quite
you
sad.
You know, that's really odd, man, because, I've been to gigs with played in front of bikers. I've done gigs where bikers are hanging out. Those are the people that get into the tunes the most.
You'd think, right? And they've played before this type of group before,
right.
And they were appreciative. These people were online for their food, casting almost dirty looks over at the band, like, why are you annoying us?
Listen, as somebody, food, you can't beat food when it comes to entertainment.
You know what?
Food always wins.
Food always wins.
And bikers are fat, so there's no competition. Yeah, there are.
Davin said that, folks.
Yeah, no, Davin said it.
Snake is listening somewhere. I don't want to stop him.
You either have the really scrawny leader of the band. You have the really scrawny leader of the bike pack.
Right.
And you got like 50 fatties behind them.
Don't talk about their women like that.
No, and they don't even wear shirts of the appropriate, and they wear of the appropriate size. They wear these cut-off shirts, so their arms are flapping. Who are they feeling? I guess they feel that it looks cooler to be a fat guy on a Harley than a fat guy in a Prius. I get it.
I just want to say to Snake and Chainsaw and all of my fine folks out at the chapters there, that was my little partner over there saying that stuff.
Yeah,
you don't
really
think they know they're fat? You think it's a mystery? No. Listen, they're not juicy. Is what I'm saying. There's no kale in that diet.
No, there was no kale on that line. Yeah, no. I
mean, and they think they're tough guys. But here's the thing about a fat tough guy. You can outrun a fat tough guy. Because they can't go more than half a block.
When you trip and fall and he starts beating you with a chain, how fat is he then?
Yeah.
But you got to trip and fall first.
Yeah. And
now listen, if you're a fat guy versus a biker fat guy, biker fat guy wins because he has friends.
Yes.
Right.
But if you're in somewhat of decent shape and an athlete and you don't got kids or, like, a woman slowing you down, you can pretty much say what you want. And then on the way out, you knock over their bikes. They're going to be pissed, but they got to pick them up. And, you know, they're fat, so they're not really used to doing that type of heavy lifting unless it's their ass off the couch. So you got to – now, it can't be a road. You can't be on a road where it's all straightaways because they're going to catch you there.
Yes.
But if there's a lot of places where you can, like, kind of turn off and hide, I say fuck with a fat biker.
Now, if anybody wants to take Tabitha's advice and then go fuck with the Hell's Angels, let us know how you make out.
Yeah, really.
One of visiting hours in intensive care.
And Cheryl,
what I say is true, though. They're a bunch of fatties.
I don't care.
Not
but
all
I'm not,
of them, dude.
Might be true, but I'm not putting it into practice.
Yeah.
Yeah, but especially these weekend warrior bikers. They got their Harley. Or the dentist got his Harley on his midlife crisis. He's got five of his stupid accountant and podiatrist friends taking up the damn road like there's somebody on the thruway. Get out of the way. I got softball to play.
Well, that's a different bunch of guys that we're talking about. Actual bikers.
So are they actual bikers that are running meth, the type of bikers you can respect? Or are they
I don't know, because I had enough. I didn't have to ask for prices.
Well, I tell you, I am such not a biker. I went into had to go to a biker biker store.
You're not fat enough to be a biker.
No, I had to pick up a friend of mine is having a birthday, so I had to pick them up a t-shirt.
Yeah.
No assless chaps? Not that close of a friend?
No.
So yeah, that's really
there, you know,
close.
I get the t-shirt and stuff like that, and the woman's right. She goes, "You ride?" And I'm like, no.
No, ma'am.
Friend of mine's having a birthday in July. I just wanted to get a t-shirt.
What do you have for a pal?
Yeah, I know.
There's a party, and I want to bring him a gift.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you something. There were some vendors there, and you could have picked up really interesting things. Like, there were a whole lot of leather vests.
Oh, yeah.
And
Pals die a lot when bikers are around.
They do. Yeah. There were a lot of scarves. There was even
some scarves.
Scarves. You know,
scarves. Oh, you said
scarves,
that like scarves
for the chicks. Scarves. Skulls on them, scarves. And you know.
I've never noticed biker chicks to be Steven Tyler.
Yeah, no.
Oh,
it's there.
Like,
yeah,
scarves.
Biker chicks are ugly.
Ooh.
I think
wow, now he doesn't know when to stop, does he?
I think it's because,
once again, I just want to say to all the local chapters.
That's
Gavin. but listen, a lot of them are like, they're men. They're out there, their faces take a beating. There's only so many flying insects you can take right in the grill without it having an effect. That's why I like windshields. I've always been pro windshield.
They have windshields. They're called men.
That's true. But these men, they move very little. But still, the bikes get by. Listen, I see the front grill of my car. I went in this like, dead insects all over the place. I would not want to be a face blocking those things. There's only these women, and they're haggard because they smoke so much.
Yeah.
If you smoke, it ages you.
I had this thought when we do the event on the 11th. These bikers come down to hang out.
Oh.
And I go, Joe has a special tape he wants to play from a previous show.
Hey, we're running now, stupid. Let me ask you a question.
Jesus, Scranton.
Let me ask you a question. If a biker could get, like, a rock groupie, wouldn't he? He can't. But bikers are, like, a notch down from rock stars. They're, like, the rock stars.
Several.
Yeah, they're the rock stars of transportation.
Hey, there's some hot biker chicks out there.
Not a lot. Did you just want they put in the magazines? But they're not real. You're not seeing them on the back of snakes holding onto his stupid love handles from his 1986 Harley t-shirt that should have been retired. You're not seeing that chick. You see her tending bar. And possibly getting raped at the end of the night.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And the Newark Bears Eagles Stadium.
No, boy.
Did you just say in front of Trucker Tom that bikers are the rock stars of the transportation?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah, nobody likes a trucker.
Ah, Tom says, look like I just came back in time. Biker talk.
Well, you're not going to like what you heard.
No.
No, I mean, nobody likes truckers.
What?
I love Trucker Tom, but no, truckers are a pain in the ass.
I don't know that.
I don't know who I. Who do I dislike more, bikers or truckers? Here's the problem with bikers: they're rude. You're stuck in rush hour traffic. Nobody's moving. They weave in and out like you don't want to scooch over and give them a little nudge. So I guess I hate bikers more than truckers. What I don't like about truckers is, and whenever I'm behind them, I get all this backsplash, like I'm me, you know, and I get all this shit on my windshield that I can't see. Their fault.
No, it's not.
I definitely dislike bikers more than truckers because bikers are inconsiderate.
Now, with the exception of Tom and a couple of truckers, I know some of them boggle my mind. No, some of them don't have a GPS. which I don't understand.
They use the stars.
Wow. They use the stars. Now, where I work, my day gig, there was a hotel on the end of the block. They just built a new hotel. And I'm giving guys directions, and I'm like, you got to go down here. There's a BMW dealership. You pass the BMW. We're on the left-hand side where the hotel is.
You told us last week.
Did I?
Yeah, you told us a couple of weeks ago. The stupid trucker doesn't know where the hell he's going. You got to give him you had to give him like specific directions, and even that wasn't good enough.
Even that, okay, fine. Even that was good enough, you know. So it's like it boggles my mind.
Yeah,
and I go, you got a GPS? No, how could you not have a GPS
when you drive? For
I tell
a living
dick jokes. I have a GPS.
You have to know where you're going.
Yeah,
with that in front of you.
Was I too harsh on truckers? Did I say anything wrong? I mean, bikers, bikers, not truckers. Was I too harsh? I don't think I said anything out of school.
Well, you know,
you're not seeing a pack of bikers and go, that's a bunch of good-looking people. You're just not. Well, maybe there's one or two in the group, but you're not.
No.
Unless it's like the little rice eater, like, but you know, if you get like the racing bikes. Like,
yeah.
Because then you get, like, the hot chicks that, like, just want to suck some racing cock. And that's cool. That's cool.
Suck some racing cock.
Yeah, yes, that's what he said.
Because they're hanging out with their boyfriend on the trust fund who wants to be a tough guy and get his Yamaha and weave in and out of traffic.
Oh, those guys.
But they're usually good-looking guys with good-looking women. Yeah. Your Harley bikers, better bike, more respectable bike, uglier people. But bikers, but there are groups of bikers that do a lot of good things. They'll like ride for certain causes, which is really cool.
Yes, which is what these people were doing.
Which is really cool. Gotta love that. Just not when I'm trying to get somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, now it's they were out for a cause, but they were also out for themselves.
Music was not the cause.
No, it wasn't part of it.
That's frustrating.
And what was really wild is that they, you know, first they're out on the bikes, then they come back, they get on the chow line, they wolf that stuff. No, that's what it was like. They wolf that stuff down like there's no tomorrow, realize there is no beer being served, and they all left. Like, instantly.
What do you want them to do? If they stay, it's just going to get ugly.
Well, you know, I mean, I felt bad for the organizers that had these vendors come out. They sold nothing.
Well,
the band was there.
Why didn't they have beer? Because we all know bikers don't like beer.
What was the cause?
I believe it was veterans, like disabled vets.
See, that's a really cool ride that they're doing.
Yeah, it is. But they had it was out in the field behind a high school, so you can't serve beer there. So they all just went,
high school, that's a place bikers didn't finish.
They weren't familiar with
once
the place.
Again,
they knew their
local
GPS
chapters.
Really, you think I give a shit what they think?
Tom says, hey, I resent that. I'm far from ugly. Thank you very much. He's a biker.
I know. Tom just bought his bike. Mazel tov, Tom. But you're not one of these people that's like biking all the time. You're trucking all the time. And no, Tom, you're not ugly.
No, he's not.
But Tom, let's be honest. If you hung out with 15 biker friends, chances are 13 of them are beasts. And you're not. And most truckers are getting well-worn women.
Well, and look, if Trucker...
It's like their face was being dragged behind.
If Trucker Tom was with like 12 other bikers...
Tom's the catch.
He is the pick of the litter.
Yeah.
Undoubtedly.
The pick of the truck stop.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that to kiss Tom's ass, because I see plenty of things that I don't give a shit what Tom thinks. Mm. But it's true. Tom's not a bad-looking guy.
You don't. No, not at all.
And, you know, and Tom's more together than most of these guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't really consider Tom a biker. He's more of a trucker.
Yeah.
He doesn't have enough time to ride, because he's always driving.
Yeah.
It's well, true.
He's trying to find time to ride,
but he's always working.
Well, he's too busy defending himself against all the heresy that he's hearing about bikers on the radio.
Well, if Tom would just run more drugs, he'd have more free time. See?
Oh God!
Yeah, it's the load you're carrying, Mister.
Mm. Here was the capper of the day for me. Besides the sunstroke and the band played. By the time they were done with their first set, there were crickets on the field. There was nothing. It looked like Woodstock with just like papers and cans and stuff.
I've done things like that.
And nobody's there. So
you just gotta play.
I walked over while
at least with a band, there's other people on
stage.
Well,
at least with the band, the thing with a band between stand up, you with a band, you get a response every 3.5 minutes. You know, with a comic, it's every sec. You know, every 27 seconds.
Did you see the video of Great White? It's a Jack Russell's Great White. There's two Great Whites now. Jack
Russell. There's a little dog running the band now.
I didn't write the joke.
I think you give it too much credit by saying joke, but all right. But you know, there's two versions of this band go around. Jack Russell's the former lead singer, Great White. Yeah. So they're playing this. I want to say hockey stadium. And it's like after the game. It's either hockey stadium or football stadium.
Right.
It's like 5,000-7,000 seat or something like that. It's after the game. So people, there's maybe 100 people in the whole stadium while they're jamming out. it's the same thing, but, you know.
It's a big college town.
What?
Not a big college town. Spinal Tap reference.
Yeah.
Okay. So here was the capper of the day. They're standing around putting their equipment away because they said, don't even bother with your second set because nobody's here. And they're like, fine, we're going
that's
home.
That's the worst.
No, that's great.
No, it's so bother. It's a good feeling and it's a bad feeling. Oh, you guys cannot get off now.
That's
like,
great. Goodbye.
Don't even bother.
I mean, it's not like it happened in the middle of it. I mean, like I've gotten as a comic, wrap it up in the middle. All right.
Yeah.
You were actually there when I got it one time in the middle.
Well, that's, yeah, right. Yes, yes.
In Pennsylvania.
No, they were just like, so they play the last bit. Nobody claps. My brother-in-law
hitting on Pip, so it's a loss for her.
No, that was a relief. Well,
you should have invited landscapers to the gig. It would have been a blast.
Sure, know your audience.
So, while they're trying to figure things out, I wander over to the
Where are we going with this?
Yeah. Why are we here?
We've all had that meeting.
I've had that actually go on in my head as I'm still reciting jokes.
Oh, well.
Oh, yeah.
I've had that, the same thing, and I've also been between sets with the band doing that, going, what the? What are we doing?
Well, I want.
Sucks to be the girlfriend or the wife, because you got to say, it's okay, honey. You're very talented. I still love you.
Yes, I was trying to be supportive while I'm sweating my balls off. So I wander over to the vendors just to see what's there while they're packing their stuff up, because they're like, this was a waste of time. And I see rings with skulls on, which is right in my wheelhouse. So I'm like, oh, look at that. And right next to it is a swastika. Swastika rings.
I'm aware.
Okay. What the fuck?
Really?
Because
bikers are so sensitive.
No, but I mean, like, these seem
like... Did you complain?
You know what? It's these two people I will never see again. They're going to care what I say.
When I was down in...
I couldn't believe it, though.
I used to work down in Ocean City.
But swastika is kind of a popular thing in the biker culture. Not that they're...
Well, that makes it okay, Jim. I you know, have that gig in Ocean City where I run it, but I used to perform down there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And there used to be a jewelry store inside the hotel right next to the comedy club, a little jewelry stand and everything.
Yeah.
And there was, like, I wasn't down there, but my partner told me about it. There was, like, a Nazi thing. In, like, the showcase.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, like a swastika. So.
Oh, my God. What the
fuck? It was originally a Native American thing. But, you know. This is why we have to name them derogatory names for football teams. We are punishing them for their insensitivity.
No, you know, I know that there are a lot of symbols that have been around for a long time. But when the Nazis co-opted, I'd say maybe you got to pull it out of your repertoire.
Did you say anything?
I didn't, because it was just those two, the vendors there, and I'm like, they're going to give a shit what I said.
So if you would have seen a ring that you really liked from the same vendor.
I did, and I walked away.
Okay, I just thought it was good for you.
I was like, I'm not buying stuff from you.
Good for you, Pip.
But I was like, ugh.
I mean, you didn't really have the courage or your convictions enough to say anything to him.
I figured, I'm not going to convince these people not to sell it.
You could have asked why.
I guess I could have, but
answer the question,
I guess
in the biker culture, they like swastikas are popular.
And real, and you were upset with me for just killing him 5 minutes ago?
Well, I'm just saying what it is.
Well,
one more reason to kill him.
Well, Tom says here that swastikas and SS regalia are popular with like 1% of motorcycle clubs, not the rest of biker society. Okay, so I guess I get that they like it. Doesn't mean I have to like seeing it. It's on school grounds. Jesus.
It's kind of weird that you're bringing that
away.
To a fundraiser.
Well, it's not like they're riding around in a staff car giving the Hitler salute.
How do you know?
It's a trinket they're selling on a table at a fair for bikers. It's not like they're selling it at the bake sale, you know?
Well, you know what? All the cupcakes had the little swastikas on, too. Did I forget to mention that?
No. I love vanilla cream Hitler.
Hostess.
Hostess. None of these are kosher. And they never will be. All are cooked in the oven.
But the last insult was that by the time all these people ran through the chow line, there was no food left for the band. Not a hot dog to be found.
That's fine. I mean,
no, it wasn't. You're the help. No, it wasn't.
You're the help.
They weren't getting paid.
They weren't getting paid?
No.
Sucks. Well, they got what they were worth.
Got nothing. Got nothing.
What a bone gig. And then you get...
Yeah.
Yeah,
maybe you should have played Hell Gig before
that
this.
Kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was Hell Gig.
You want to know something, too? Like, if you do that, if that gig is a comic, all right, and that happens, you just ride home in the car, and it's you.
Yep.
You know,
You do that gig with a band. Whoever booked that is going to be hearing all of it. I don't know why you took that gig, man. Hey, I didn't always go, well, you know, man, never again, man.
I know. That well, sucks. See, the three of them went off to a diner to complain. The one who booked it went home to lie down because he shouldn't be out in that kind of heat. And my husband and I had to go home because he had to go to work.
He yeah. shouldn't be out. You guys go ahead. I'm going to book you here. I should not be out in that type of heat.
Well, he was. It was my brother-in-law who was really sick last year and almost died.
Oh.
And so he's coming back from that, but he really shouldn't be out.
Your brother-in-law's in the band?
Yeah. Yeah. It's very incestuous band. Not that they do things to each other. I mean.
Okay. Right.
Everybody's related or has been married to somebody that was related to one of them. It's really weird.
Good. Yeah. So, about a month ago. We asked a lot of our friends, fans, a lot of fans of the show, to write to a certain gentleman at SiriusXM who runs four comedy channels. Guy by the name of Tim Sabian.
Yeah.
And a lot of you guys really stepped up.
Yeah, it was great.
It was awesome. And Tim wrote back to some of you guys that he would check us out, this, that, the other thing. So we were on Tim Sabian's radar. Here's the problem with Tim Sabian's radar. It is no longer picking up signals at SiriusXM. Tim Sabian got canned.
Do you believe this?
So all that work that we did,
yeah,
all that work that you folks did, is for naught. And I texted this to Joe, and Joe goes, "Well, we just got to keep going." Joe, very very positive. He's very very positive about these things, and it's a good thing. And when we had our issues last year. That was one of the things that actually did stick with me when Joe was bitching me out about his many complaints. about the fact that I would get negative at times.
Yeah.
When we would have setbacks or things would go wrong.
Yeah.
And it struck me as like, wow, okay, people are looking to me, so I can't be negative. So I try not to reveal what I'm really thinking, you know, when I'm throwing shit and go, son of a bitch. I just, okay. But Joe's very positive. So it's good. Joe's got a very positive outlook
it's
with all these setbacks.
It's the business, man. That's the way it all works.
Yeah, but the business hasn't been kind to us. That doesn't make me feel
right.
Really, I haven't noticed. But we're gonna, come on, we're going to take a break. We're all going to curl up in a ball, and we're going to lie on the floor and wait for everything to go away.
You
keep fighting. Stop it. You keep fighting, and you keep swinging, and you don't stop.
So, yeah, so Joe handled that well, and I think I've handled it pretty well. So we'll find somebody else for you guys to bother.
Well, yeah, we're going to be, if you folks could all write into the Tooth Fairy.
No. Courtesy of SiriusXM.
Listen, I've been told something cool is going to happen next week.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to happen this week. It's going to happen next week, I've been told. So that will hopefully step up the process. Of course, when that happens, I will share it with you guys. As always.
Should be really cool if it does.
Yeah, as always, go to the Davin's End Facebook page, because if we're not on the air, that's where I put stuff. But I want to talk about this positivity and negativity for a reason. Because when it comes to the show, the past 6 months, Joe's probably been the most positive out of anybody. So that's cool. So it's like, all right, well, you know.
What a random departure from last year.
No, even then, you know, in regards to that, you were more positive,
yeah.
But I mean, you were throwing so much negativity at us that nobody could know
it. It was hard to see it.
Yeah.
Sitting here going, yeah, great story.
Look, there's a nugget of positivity under all that mud.
Yeah, don't pay attention. What?
Yeah, but
yes, he's the big cheerleader of the show.
I mean, at that point,
rah, rah.
At that point, nobody gave a shit about the positive.
Hey, you want to know something, though? I tell you, though, that was a big wake-up call when you really know what your priorities and what makes you happy. Because I'm going through a probably worse personal stuff lately than I was at that time. And instead of looking at the show, dragging it to the show, it's like my oasis, you know, the sauce to come to. So I just
that's
put all
so
that stuff.
Sad.
Well, no,
this is your happy place. Oh
yeah,
my God!
Think about how down you were. You weren't feeling great last week.
No, I was.
And then, the show is a fun thing.
Yeah, it is. Man.
It is.
That's
it's,
what, you know,
it's like listeners. Occasionally, I get down in the dumps.
You weren't feeling great today.
No,
but you seem fine on the air.
It's like, but the thing, it's like when you go on stage or like perform anywhere. Devin. I mean, heck, I even seen it. Even Tom saw it when we were down over down in Michigan. Where you're like on death's door.
Yeah.
And you walk on stage and you just turn it on.
You do.
And I mean, when we went into Laughlin, I had 3 hours of sleep, traveled about 12 hours, It took a 20-minute shower. I had to hit the stage, and I'm in the wings of the thing going, I don't know if I could do this. I was supposed to do 25. I couldn't find David in the audience. I wound up doing 40.
Yeah.
So when you, you know, when the lights go on
you
air or whatever, you turn it on. You know, you figure a way.
And well, I'm sometimes just being here with you guys. I mean, I may come in here in a really terrible mood, and David's like, oh, great, we're about to start. And I'm like, don't worry, I'll be okay.
Yeah, you turn it on.
So, you know, I mean, unless we're, you know, we're being, you know,
but here's
open cards here.
Positivity, I believe, is the right way to approach life when you can.
Yes.
Being a Jets fan, it's very hard to be positive.
No,
Jets
dear.
Fan as well.
Yeah, same thing. So we're playing softball. I'm on my new softball team.
Yeah.
And this team, I like this team. I like this group of guys. But there's a lot of negativity. There's a lot of finger pointing from this team when things start going wrong. And in my experiences in softball, once you start yelling at each other, the snowball effect keeps going and everything. And now people are playing uptight, and you don't want to play for each other. I've been on teams like that.
Yeah,
I've been on teams that went like
one. I've been in bands like that.
Yeah,
yeah.
I've been on teams that went like 1-15. And mm-hmm. I've been on teams that have won titles and everything. So I've been to both. So we're up 6-1. This is a 9-inning game. This is Sunday night. We're up 6-1 going into the bottom of the 7th.
Oh.
It's a 9-inning game.
Okay.
but the wheels fell off.
Uh-oh.
Balls are getting thrown all over the place. Routine fly balls are getting dropped. And our team, I could just see, because they love to yell at each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes actually from our rabbi, who's our pitcher, who I really like. He's a competitor. He's 68 years old, still throws great and everything.
Wow.
But he's always yelling and screaming. So I'll yell back at him. Like, he was like there was a ball up against the fence. I ran to get it up against the fence. And I ran into the fence. I didn't catch it.
Right.
He's like, you got to catch that ball. I'm like, really? I didn't think of that.
He's yelling at a man of God.
I don't give a shit.
He's not wearing his yarmulke while he's pitching, is he?
No. And I swung it like
I don't know. Scarves?
And I swung it like a really terrible pitch at one point. And like one of the guys on the team goes, oh, that was a really ridiculously bad pitch. Oh, really ridiculously. Thanks for adding the adjective. It's like, I'm not going to take their shit.
Ridiculously.
But here's the thing. I know when it sucks. I know when I should catch something and when
you
screw
up.
Listen, nobody beats themselves up more than me. And all the guys on our team try really hard. If somebody doesn't try hard, that's when I scream at them.
Right.
And shit. That's when we have problems here. When I think somebody's not giving their all, that's when we have issues. As long as somebody, you know, is giving their all, it's like, well, okay, we'll figure it out.
And he looks at us and he goes, that's as good as you've got, huh? Okay.
As long as you try, I deal with your flaws.
He knows
it's
well.
It's like a woman giving a blowjob. You're trying. This isn't very good, but we're here. I'll make the best of it.
I appreciate the effort.
I'll pat you on the head and say, finish up.
I'll think about something else.
So we wind up after this horrible inning, to which point I go to the second baseman because our left fielder made like a second huge error of the inning.
Mm. Right.
And like we're three runs. It was like a pop-up to left field. Bases loaded. Completely dropped it. I just go to second base behind the goal and go, well, that's not good. But like people are starting to lose their mind and everything. Now we're trailing 8-6, and this is a game we have to have and everything. And I'm just like, come on, guys. We're going to get this. Keep battling. We're just down by two. Keep hit. Like, I'm staying positive.
Yeah.
Because it's softball. Anything can happen in softball and everything. So then in the bottom of the 8th, one of our guys with two out hits a bomb. Hits a two-run bomb to tie it up.
Oh, nice.
So now we go into the 9th inning. And this is going to be the last inning because there's not enough time to play extras because you're on a certain clock. You can't start an inning after, like, I think it's like 2 hours.
Well, you were late. I tried to call you about some.
Yeah.
You're out late.
Yeah, well, it was an 8 o'clock game.
Yo.
I got another one on Wednesday.
Really? That late they start?
Last Tuesday we had an 8:40 game, but I was here.
You get them in before sunset?
They have lights.
Oh, okay.
No, we play in Alaska.
Duh. No, duh. Sorry. Stupid.
So, so it's the bottom of the 9th. And I have what was probably my best swing of the night because my first two swings were complete garbage.
Right.
Like, I was just looked terrible on. My third at bat, I hit it wasn't great, but a bases loaded ground ball wound up being a single for an RBI. My fourth at bat, I smoked this ball up the middle. Could not have hit it any harder. Unfortunately, somebody was there.
Bastard.
I was like, are you kidding me? Our next guy, shallow fly ball, short center field. The guy on the team makes a spectacular catch. So now we're staring at a tie.
Right.
guy coming up is our left fielder who's had all sorts of problems, just joined the team, has not hit, has a lot of strikeouts. I talked to him earlier in the game about how we could get his bat sped up so he wouldn't strike out. And he stopped striking out. He started making contact and everything. Huh. You know, I took him aside. I don't know this guy.
Yeah, but you're giving him pointers.
I'm trying to help him out here and everything. So hits a ground ball, beats it out for a single.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Next guy up hits a ground ball, and they threw it away. So now our guy who's on first, he's racing around the bases. Then they get the ball, and I guess they hold it. Play at the plate. Our left fielder, who's been much maligned, dropped the ball left and right, striking out left and right, slides home.
Wow.
Ahead of the tag.
No. Wow, good for him.
So I'm, like, so happy for him.
Yeah.
Would have been happy if I would have gotten a hit. But, but
team.
But exactly. So the rabbi who I've said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give you my phone number so you can call me and yell at me before the game. I said that to him and everything.
No, it's like you working for you.
Yeah. But I'm the same person. The same person you guys deal with is the same person I'm playing ball with.
Right.
I might watch just to see you and him go at it.
No, but I'm just not going to take shit for no reason.
I understand, but it sounds like there's two type A personalities
yes.
going but, at but each here's other. The thing, interesting to watch.
But you need to realize when you're the leader, mm-hmm. and he's a leader. He's yeah. our elder statesman. He's a quality pitcher, and he's a rabbi.
Man of God.
He's a man. You need to realize, and this is a new team. This team has been cobbled together, and this year alone, we've had two people quit and another guy die. So this was not the roster.
Oh, my God.
This is not the roster our captain went in with.
Yeah.
You know, and the guy who died was in his 20s. I don't know. I think it might have been a motorcycle.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, it does suck. So,
probably goofing on the way you looked a little while ago.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. So we've cobbled together. So the rabbi pulls me aside. He goes, "You're the reason we won." He goes, "Because when everybody was down, you were the only one who was going positive, encouraging, we're going to get this."
Look at that.
Now, I don't think I'm the reason we won.
Did you fall over when he was saying this to you?
No, I just said thanks. But, you know, I don't think I'm the reason we won. But that's what I want to try to instill in this team. Mm-hmm. Just like the positiveness.
Yeah.
You got to be positive. And that's what Joe instills in the show when I'm dealing. Because I'm immersed in this shit. Right. I told you guys the pressure's on me.
Yeah.
And I say this to Joe. And Joe's like, well, you know what? You got to keep going. Joe's positive. So it's a good backbone
but
to
even,
have.
But even sometimes you even catch yourself. Last week at rehearsal, I was kind of cracking the whip because we're under the gun. We're playing August 2nd, and in this bill is going to be McClinton. McClinton is headlining. We're playing the show.
McClinton's headlining?
Yeah, McClinton's headlining.
Aren't they the big stars?
Yeah, oh,
we're
boy.
Playing the show. Race Odyssey's playing the show.
Oh, wow.
So I want this band sharp as a tack. And we had to learn three originals. New songs,
right?
And we want to put those three into the regular set.
Okay.
And I know the time frame of the stuff.
Yeah.
And I was just very cracking the whip.
Yeah.
Last week, where I seemed like to be the guy not fun.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I apologized to John. I called John the next day. I apologized.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I got to lighten up. So we had a rehearsal last night. And, you know, we had fun and stuff like that. And we actually got the three new songs pretty down because we did acoustic rehearsals. We're going electric next week. We're starting our electric rehearsals next week. And,
I hope you stand in a puddle.
So, but it's thing with being I always try to be positive, but sometimes you catch yourself.
Oh,
where
yeah.
You're not the fun guy to be around.
But you have to get people back into the herd.
Well, yeah. You know, I think it also depends. A big part of it's leadership. In Joe's bands, he's one of the leaders.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in that band, so the people probably look to Joe.
Yes.
To a degree. With this thing, I'm the leader. I mm-hmm. didn't realize that. When the show was originally created.
Right.
When the show was originally created, that wasn't the case. But through all of the nonsense we've been through, I realized that.
Yes.
So so I know I can tell you guys what's going on, but I shouldn't necessarily be going, mother, you know, this, that, the other thing. With the softball team, I'm not a leader. I'm a new guy.
Yeah.
This is my first year there, and it's not like I'm the best player on the team mm-hmm. or anything like that. You know, I'm hitting well.
Right.
But, you know, I'm not fielding the way I'm normally fielding. I brought the backup stupid first baseman's glove because the other one's dead. It was going to be $100 to fix it.
Oh, yeah.
So the other one's dead. So I had the backup first baseman's glove that I've never used but I've had for 15 years.
Right.
And warm-ups, these mother effers are throwing so hard, it rips the webbing.
No! I mean, no! Now that's, two of them down?
That's getting fixed. So I had to use my regular glove. And everything. But crazy. Positivity, I really believe, positive energy, not that it begets positive energy, but if you're going to be a leader, if you're going to make things happen, it's an essential quality. Mm-hmm. I really believe that.
Absolutely.
Team building exercises.
No, it's true because, you know.
Catch me, I'm going to fall, Joe.
If you're in a, listen, if you're negative and you're not in a leadership position, it's bad. Mm-hmm. And it can still infiltrate the team of whatever it is. But if you're a leader and you have a negative disposition, it rots everything.
Yeah, it does because nobody feels like, you know, what's the point?
Right.
In whatever organization it is, everybody's like, what is the point?
Exactly. If the guy who's in charge of this is thinking, you know, this isn't going to happen for us, this, that, the other thing, or this stinks, why should I care?
Well, I had to take these classes to get some certification for my industry.
Right.
And one of the teachers that
she
was...
She learned how to give a good hand job.
That's essential.
Well, I'm glad you finally realized that.
I did, you know. And
it's one of the first scenes you shoot.
You know, that's why all those hotels have that lotion. Nobody really uses it for anything else.
That's what Dixon knows. Learn something new. Listen to the clips.
So this guy is teaching this class, and he's talking about this is a downside. This is another thing that's coming up in the industry. Here's another thing that's bad. This is terrible. And I just sat there. It was like the first
it's
or second
depleting.
Class. And I was like, why the fuck am I taking these classes then? Why am I doing this? Why would I even want to try when this is all down, bad, awful, never going to be good for you to do? It was so deflating. So, I mean, there was one of those sheets that you fill out and say, how was the teacher? And I said, I can't think that anybody else can sit here through all this negativity and say, yes, this is what I want to go into doing.
I think that's the message. Be positive.
Yeah.
If you are in a position, whatever it is, whether it's in your family, if you're like the man or woman of the house and you got kids, or you're on a team, or you're in a business and everything, if you're in a leadership position, try to be positive. Try to believe in yourself and your team, because you might not always succeed, but you got a better chance of getting more positive results and getting the most out of the people around you to achieve whatever goals you guys have.
So you're saying I should stop threatening to kill myself at work?
No, I think that's a win-win for everybody.
All right, yeah.
All right, we'll be back. We'll have the brand new bit, so we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Unique and different by incorporating guest past and present experiences, The Cary Edelman Show interviews, explores, and delves into the lives of some of the most fascinating and interesting musicians, comedians, and writers in the entertainment industry today. Check out our show live Monday evenings at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. To listen live or check out past shows, go to blogtalkradio.com/Cary Edelman. The Watson & Watson Show was born from a labor of love, or should we say constant disagreement. Judy and Johnny Watson, a.k.a. mother and son, are constantly battling each other on different issues of life, from politics to sports to proper parenting, or in Italian family terms, discussing passionately about it. If you like a radio show that is entertaining, funny, passionate, and you can have basically the whole family enjoy it, tune on in. You won't be disappointed. If anything, after listening to these two, you'll realize your family isn't that bad after all. Every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Watson and Watson.